The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You want baseball? We got baseball. Wednesday night, finale of a three-game series between the Dodgers and the Cubs. Great pitching matchup. Trevor Bauer, Jake Arrieta. Coverage begins 7:30 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. And with that, we welcome you back to our studio. We come to you live, as always, from the Seaport District in New York City. We are brought to you by Chase. I am Greeny, back and better than ever from the draft. And we have a ton to recap here, and delighted that you have chosen to get up with us to do it. We also have to get up with Aaron and the reality sinking in. He's not going back to Green Bay. We'll tell you exactly what happens next right off the top of the hour. Meanwhile, the decision on the young star in the division. Why all the pressure is on the coach now to get this one exactly right. And then, did you hear what LeBron said about the playoffs? Oh, you don't want to miss this. It's on the way as we get up with you in this hour, starting right now with the continued fallout over Adam Schefter's bombshell report that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Over the weekend, Packers president Mark Murphy said the team is committed to Rodgers for next year and beyond. Meanwhile, here's what the head coach Matt LaFleur had to say.
This guy is our quarterback, man, and he's our leader of our team, and I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform. And, you know, we've been able to accomplish a lot of great feats over the last 2 years, two straight NFC championship games. I know the seasons haven't ended the way we've wanted them to. In my eyes, he's the greatest to ever do it. I don't care about Super Bowls or whatnot, but we want him back here.
Well, our friend Peter King, in his Monday Morning Quarterback column, asked Packers GM Brian Gutekunst if the relationship is irretrievably broken. And he was told, no, I don't think so at all. That's my opinion. That's the organization's opinion. We want Aaron to be our quarterback. We're pretty resolute with that. So, if you were just joining us, we opened our show today with this story, and we talked a great deal about the relationship now involved between the Packers and their superstar quarterback. And we can continue to touch on that. But I think the time has come, Dan Graziano, my insider extraordinaire, to start spinning this into what may happen next. And I saw an interesting note from you on the level of interest you think will be out there if indeed the Packers do come to the determination they have to make a deal here. How would you describe it?
Well, I think the interest level would be very high. I mean, this is a quarterback that there are teams that would change their plans to acquire if they found out he was available. And look no further than the report Thursday that the 49ers had inquired right before they were about to take Trey Lance with the number 3 pick. They wanted to first find out if they could get Aaron Rodgers. And that may have changed their plans. So I think you'll see teams that look like they're set at the quarterback position at least consider the possibility of doing this instead if we get to a point where the Packers are entertaining those calls.
So here's the question, though, Dan Graziano. Like when the Russell Wilson conversation was going on, one of the things we believed was Seattle would have to have an answer at quarterback in return in order to consider making a move. Well, the Packers have already done that. They did the second part right. First. They drafted their answer at quarterback. So if they come to the determination that they have to move Aaron Rodgers, what would they want in return?
I think when you look at a potential, and we're down a hypothetical road here because they're still saying they're not going to do it.
Right.
But you're not only looking at draft picks for next year, you have to be looking at players who are young players who are recent high draft picks who are still on rookie contracts. So, you know, who did you take in the first and second round last year? Let's say if you're the Denver Broncos, right, it's Bradley Chubb is still on his rookie contract, although not much longer. You know, last year's first round pick was Jerry Jeudy. You know, you look at players like that I think would have to go into it to make a deal like this work, or you'd have to be sending them back a quarterback they could start in the meantime if they believe Jordan Love still needs more time. And remember, when they made the Jordan Love pick last year, they weren't necessarily thinking of starting him 1 year later. He may need another year or at least a little more time to develop before they're comfortable doing that.
That ultimately is my answer to all of this. That the Packers made the decision to draft the player and decided we're now going to just set a timetable at whatever way works out best for us. And Aaron Rodgers said, no, you're not. I'm going to decide the timing here. I'm going to take control of this situation, and only a very select few NFL players can do that. So we'll get to the love piece of it in a minute. But Dan Orlovsky, if you were to sort of predict how this thing plays out, you told me the other day that you think Rodgers is done in Green Bay. So how does it play out? Where does it go? How does it happen?
Well, I think the reality is you can't have the past and the future at the same time. And that's why I think Aaron Rodgers is done in Green Bay, because in their eyes, he's the past. How does it happen? You know, I think, first of all, it's a fair question to sit there and say, does the organization have the conversation of, well, maybe we move on from Jordan Love? Like, if the option is, hey, we got to trade Aaron Rodgers or keep Jordan Love, well, which one wins out in that conversation? Because there's really only three ways to make this happen. Number one, the person who selected Jordan Love is gone. That's Brian Gutekunst. Does the organization in some capacity go, you know what? We're not losing the quarterback. The general manager who took that quarterback, he's gone. Number two, that Aaron Rodgers decides all those visits paid off, and I'm going to change my feelings, and I was wrong. I'll come back. I'll be happy again. We'll go for one more year with me and Matt LaFleur. Or three, he gets traded. And if he's going to get traded, I think Graz brings up a really good point, is those teams that have young talent. You know, the Broncos that have the young talent, the Giants that have some young talent, the Raiders that have some young talent. Like, it doesn't have to be a team that just has a quarterback. You have to have young talent, because I continue to go back to this point. Brian Gutekunst, you already are the guy that set the wheels in motion to move on from Aaron Rodgers. You already have your name attached to that. Now be the guy that gets a ton of compensation because of it.
Neek, what do you think?
Well, I think it's Gutekunst, and we've been figuring it out all the way along. I mean, this whole show, that's why I just call him Young Goody. And I think Young Goody did blow this by drafting over Aaron Rodgers. And I think at this point, I think Dan's right. We gotta trade Aaron Rodgers to where he wants to go. But the only problem is all those situations are worse football situations than the one that he's in now. I guess the Broncos is the only one where you could feel maybe it's a little bit better. But all those football situations, and that just speaks to how upset Aaron Rodgers must be by this, because he is willing to go to a worse football situation just to prove his point. And I'm fine with that. It seems to me that Greeny, go ahead.
No, I was just going to push back on that. What would we have said about the football situation in Tampa Bay a year ago? I don't think any of us were looking at that and saying, well, they're just a quarterback away from winning the Super Bowl.
We were.
Not at the level. We thought they were. Listen, when Tampa Bay first came up in the conversation for Tom Brady, most people laughed at it. Most people laughed at the notion that he would go there. And then all of a sudden, people noticed how good their defense was and how good their weapons were. And Aaron Rodgers would make a lot of football situations, Dominique, look a heck of a lot better than they do right now.
The Broncos' defense is outstanding, and it got a little better. That's a great situation. They have four top-notch pass catchers. That is a great situation. The O-line isn't quite as good as the O-line in Green Bay. So I think that's the only place, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, where I know he doesn't have a no-trade clause, that's the only place where I'm like, yeah, I'll go there. The rest of those places, I'm not going to Vegas. I'm good. I'm not going to the Giants. No, thank you.
Let me get Mel in here, because I haven't to this point. So, Mel, I'll give you the floor on any direction of this you want to take. I'm particularly interested in your thoughts on where he would go. But what's in your mind right now?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I just disagree with Nick. I think it was a great decision by the Green Bay Packers to draft Jordan Love. They were aggressive. He dropped the pick 26. Some thought he was better than Justin Herbert. He drops the 26. You go, you get the quarterback, because you're not going to be picking in the top 10 to get that elite young quarterback. They did it with Aaron Rodgers when he fell. They had Brett Favre. Aaron fell. Let's get him. Let's draft him. They traded up for Love.
That's a great move. That's because you're a robot and I'm a human, and I understand that humans have emotions. These players aren't robots, and you can treat all of those other guys like that, but you can't treat a human with power like that, because his feelings were hurt. Maybe you don't have feelings, but if somebody went and brought my replacement in, I'd be upset. And if I had the leverage to make them uncomfortable, I absolutely would. But we're not all robots, Mel. I'm sorry. I have feelings.
Nick, let me educate you a little bit. I get along with everybody. I think they should get along with everybody and make so you have a win-win. So when I say that you talk about robotic, you're robotic when you don't communicate. One thing I do is communicate and get along. They should have communicated and got along instead of Aaron. We're drafting Jordan Love. We had to do it. We did it with you when we had Brett Favre, Hall of Famer, okay? And you waited, and you watched, and you learned, and we did things with your mechanics. And we, Jordan Love is going to have to wait. And what we want, Aaron, is we want you to be MVP, win Super Bowls, and Jordan Love never to play. If Jordan Love, then you trade, and you communicate, and you keep Aaron knowing that we did this, and you're happy, we're committed. Drafting Amari Rodgers isn't enough. I would have loved to see Aaron to Amari, Rodgers to Rodgers. Too little, too late. The communication was lacking, Neek, and that's why Aaron Rodgers, to pick draft day to rain on the parade of a team and blow this out of the water on draft day, Aaron is not happy. Well, we all know that, and that's on the Packers.
They picked draft day last year to rain on his parade, and it's fine. I understand. That's all logical.
That's not raining on a parade.
That's all logical and reasonable.
That's making a good business decision and putting you in a win-win situation.
I'm fine, Mel. That's all logical and reasonable. But people are not logical and reasonable. I don't think that if you go to Aaron Rodgers and you tell him beforehand that we're going to draft your replacement, that this makes this any better. You can't do that. It's what Dan's been saying all show.
We're not drafting the replacement necessarily.
You can't
be playing for the future. We may not be drafting the guy.
Mel, maybe next time I will explain this to you in binary code so that you will understand it. But right now, I don't seem to be getting through to you.
Well, what you just said, I don't have no clue what you just said, Deke. So I can't go there. You're way above me on that, pal. So I have no idea. All I say is a win. I have no issue with a win-win. That could have been a win-win. Drafting Jordan Love could have been a win-win. Now it's a maybe lose-lose or a win-lose. That's not good. I want to win all the way through.
It is great to be back. We will take a short break. We will have much more on this as we continue. Coming up, Bill Belichick says Cam Newton is his quarterback. But for how long? Who should start in Foxborough? Our guys don't agree on this one either. We'll get to it. Plus, can Justin Fields change everything in Chicago? Should he start right away? We will dive into that. And Graziano, are you ready? Sneaky Hembo is coming for you. First one of the week. Who's the last Alabama quarterback to start a season opener in the NFL? That's a really good question. The answer is coming up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, we're back with Sneaky Hembo versus Dan Graziano, our favorite mano-a-mano matchup. It's a tough one. Who was the last Alabama quarterback to start a season opener in the NFL?
I'm a little torn here, Greeny, because I don't want to be sitting here making Hembo look bad on his birthday. That's right. It's Hembo's birthday. Happy birthday, Hembo. I'm going to guess Ken Stabler because Alabama quarterback, that's pretty much all I got. It's probably wrong, but it's a birthday gift.
I'm going to launch this investigation. This is an unfair question. The answer is Brody Croyle for the Chiefs. I'm going to say that's unfair. I'm going to go unfair.
Yeah. It's his birthday. Let him have it.
That makes it worse. To me, the fact that it's Hembo's birthday makes it worse. He wanted just a win, an unfair win on his birthday. The score is now 21-18, so Hembo was within a field goal. But as of that question, I'm now officially rooting for Graziano. Meanwhile, as we continue, and we look back on the draft, and the quarterbacks, of course, were the big story on night one. The surprises started to some degree with the Niners taking Trey Lance at 3 overall, not Mac Jones. Then the Bears, of course, made the enormous move as they traded up to 11 to take Justin Fields. They traded 4 picks to the Giants for the rights to take Fields. They'll be hoping this goes a lot better than the last time they moved up for a quarterback. And then all of that led to Mac Jones being available at 15, where he was drafted by the Patriots and became the last of the big 5 quarterbacks selected in round one. And I want to focus in on him for the moment. We'll take some time on all of these. But Mel, when we talked about this earlier, we did not have you with us. Do you believe that Mac Jones should be the Patriots' starting quarterback week one?
No, I do not believe he will, because I think this is the most perplexing situation of all the quarterbacks because of the fact you're going from Cam, went from Brady to Cam. Cam tried to figure it out in a COVID year without much of any preseason games, and he struggled. And I think Josh McDaniels struggled with the play calling and what they're doing, implementing a completely new offense. Now you're going to go from Cam to Mac opening week. You can't change your offense that I don't know how they're going to deal with this in New England, because once you commit to Mac, you're changing back to the Brady offense from the Cam offense. So I don't think you go into this season expecting Mac Jones to be the starting quarterback opening day. I think that would be incredible if it was. I don't know how it can happen.
Well, it brings up an interesting point, Dan Orlovsky, and you sort of touched on this earlier, that the skill set, the strengths of Mac Jones and Cam Newton couldn't feel further apart from each other. So There really is one offense you design for one and another offense you design for another. That doesn't seem like a perfect quarterback and backup, regardless of who the starter is and who the backup is, right? So how do you play that out when that's the situation, Dan?
Well, you design the offense that around the player that's going to play the best given what's around piecewise. Right, I said this in February. The Patriots were going to ask their quarterback to do the least amount, maybe out of anybody in the NFL, because of the ground and pound style and offense that they're going to go to. I think they're going back to that old school Josh McDaniels, Tom Brady type of offense. With this selection, that signals it to me. If they were going to move forward, I thought they would have been more aggressive to one of the athletic quarterbacks. But this is an offense that, one, wants to run the ball on first and second down, okay? So the most important down quarterback-wise becomes third down. And it's not going to be third and one, third and two, where quarterback run is going to be a paramount part of your offense. It's going to be third and four or third and five, where it's going to be about decision-making, quick throws, and ball placement. And those are Mac Jones' strengths. I think Mac Jones is the Patriots' starting quarterback. I think he'll be their starting quarterback day one because he excels in those things. And this is an offense that's built around the other pieces outside of the quarterback. That's a rarity in the NFL.
You might be right, but I disagree with you and Mel on a couple different points. So I would argue that this two tight end based, ground and pound, run based offense is more suited for a quarterback who's big and strong and run the ball like Cam Newton. And also to the point that you can't really have two systems, I'm not sure that the systems need to be that different. How much more learning do you have to do? They run quarterback power. The offensive line's blocking scheme is the same as running back power. The only difference is if you think that Cam Newton's arm is so weak that you can't run the same type of pass route combinations that you would with Mac Jones, that may be the only difference. But I feel like there's not much that changes as far as terminology and scheme. You're not going to block a QB power any different than you would a running back power. So I'm not sure what the difference is there.
I think those are fair points, Dom. The point is, while your offensive scheme doesn't change, your game plan does.
Yeah,
and that's where it comes into play.
Your game plan changes week to week anyway, so I'm not sure that's big a difference. But I would like to hear you argue for how a ground and pound two tight end offense is somehow made better by a quarterback that can't threaten you from a run perspective.
Well, because the quarterback that can operate the play action pass, Mac Jones was 23 touchdowns and zero interceptions last year in a play action game for Alabama. The guy that can operate the play action pass with those one on one kind of combinations or the outside or the flood concepts, when you're flooding people to the side of the field, that's going to help your run game out even more, because you know this. Then secondaries are going to go, we can't play a ton of single high because of the play action game. So I think the pass game impacts it more than just the running quarterback.
All right, let's leave that one there for the moment. We'll come back to it. But I need to pull Mel over to the side for a moment. Mel and I are going to have a brief chat here because, Mel, you know, I came to your house Thursday and Friday and I could not have enjoyed it more. But now that we're back here, I'm just going to bring up a few things that I wanted to mention to you. Now, I hate to be that guy, but from the day the 49ers made the trade up to number three, I said to you and anyone who would listen, they're going up there to take Trey Lance. Now, I hate to be the one who points out that I was right all along, but it frustrates me no one else has. So, Mel, I'm mentioning it now to you myself. I hate to be that guy, but I was right all along on Trey Lance. Your reaction?
Congratulations, Greeny. You were. I'd say it's the most fascinating player I ever evaluated, and it was fascinating how it all ended up, where here a guy that didn't play well in the one start this year, throwing the football, goes to Kyle Shanahan over a quarterback that finished up throwing it great and wins a national title. So that speaks to the talent and the intelligence of Trey Lance to convince Kyle Shanahan, I'm the right man for the job. Fascinating prospect, fascinating the way it all played out.
I agree, and it actually did shape a lot of other things. But we will never know, because no one will ever tell us the truth, if Atlanta would have taken Trey Lance at number four, which would have completely reshaped the rest of the round if Mac Jones had been the pick at three. We'll never know. Next one. I hate to be that guy, but I told you multiple running backs were going to go in round one, and Najee Harris and Travis Etienne both did. And to your credit, Mel, even though your stance on taking running backs in round one is well known, you were high on both of those picks.
Yeah, and the Javonte Williams in Denver, early third, and Michael Carter in the fourth. But in the first, when you're Pittsburgh taking a running back that you desperately need, it's not a bad move, and it wasn't like this was a top 10 pick. This was late first round, about where Josh Jacobs went when he came out of Alabama to the Raiders. So I had no problem with, and Etienne, hey, he's more than a running back. He's a pass-catching option, pass-catching entity for Trevor Lawrence. So both those picks kind of made sense because of where they were in the late portion of round one.
And then finally, I just wanted to get this in as the most self-serving of possible ones, but I hate to be that guy, but Northwestern University, as of Thursday night, is now a football factory. I'm not sure if you've heard about it, Mel, but we had two first-round picks for the first time in our history, and it will not be the last time, with Rashawn Slater and Greg Newsome, and they were both excellent selections and very well-received, Mel Kiper.
They were, and if everybody could have seen Greeny during the draft when these players were selected, it was the president of Northwestern, okay? Mike was so proud and so happy and so elated. And then Ernest Brown goes, and even Ben Skoranek was Northwestern and became Notre Dame wide receiver drafted. So, yeah, great situation. Like I said, we'll get Patty Fisher into a camp for you, Greeny linebacker. But to see you smiling as wide as I've ever seen you smile and as proud as I've ever seen you was amazing to be part of.
That was a very good night. I tried to keep it as subtle as I could, and obviously, in my case, that did not work out particularly well. Mel, sit tight. We got much more to do as we continue getting up with you this morning. Up next, the Bears' big decision on their new star. Dan Orlovsky will show you why all the pressure is on the coach to get this one right. Plus, did you hear what LeBron said about the playoffs and someone needs to be fired? You're not going to want to miss this, and Kendrick is going to weigh in. As we continue, we're getting up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back on Get Up. The draft is behind us. Let's talk about the quarterbacks and answer some big questions. Dan Orlovsky, which of the quarterbacks is most ready to start week one?
I think all three of these jokers are, and I would play all three of them to start this season week one. I think Trey Lance, because the style of offense that he comes from and his ability to throw the ball downfield and his smarts. Justin Fields, because his performance throwing the football accurately in the red zone, and Mac Jones' ability to kind of be very simplistic at the line of scrimmage to find his matchups. Also, Justin Fields' athleticism. All three of these guys should play to start this season.
Mel, which quarterback do you think finds himself in the best situation?
I'll go with the quarterback that the organization wanted to be number one, and he's the one number one all time, historically great, fourth highest grade I've ever given, Trevor Lawrence. You go to Jacksonville, you got Urban Meyer coming in. Why? Because Trevor's the quarterback, drafted pretty well. I think they're in a situation now with Trevor. When you're one of the best quarterbacks all time coming in, you're in the best situation.
Yeah, they had a good draft. They drafted his buddy Travis Etienne from Clemson. Neek, which one do you think is in the worst situation?
I think it's obviously Justin Fields, because he comes in with all that pressure to save the livelihoods of everyone in that building, combined with the fact that they don't have a great offensive line and the expectations are high for him. The city loves football and they're excited about what he can bring. So that's a lot of pressure with not a lot of help. It's a real tough situation for Justin Fields.
I completely agree on that front. It has nothing, any player who came into that situation based upon that dynamic, I would have agreed with you that it is a lot to ask of a young quarterback just to come in and play at all, much less to be playing to save the job of the coach. So let me bring Dan Orlovsky in here. You put together some tape on his fit in that Bears offense. Yeah. Let's take a look.
I think there's three specific things that Matt Nagy can do for Justin Fields. The one, play action pass, full field progressions. Two, promote the athleticism. If it's not there, go make some plays. Three, cut the field in half. Now, when we talk full field progressions, it's important for everybody to understand why they matter. So out top, you're going to have a post route, you're going to have a deep cross route, and then you're going to have a big in. The full field progression goes 1 to 2 to 3, no matter on the coverage. That matters, okay? Now, it's going to kind of show itself here because Alabama's going to bring a pressure. That safety's going to spin out, and he's going to drop back. Now, I love Justin Fields' comfort level with these full field progressions. Pressure comes, move in the pocket, ball's going to come out, and it's going to get to number two. In this little window right here, this number two crosser is going to be wide open, tipped completion. But I want Matt Nagy to take it to the next level. I don't want just a full field progression. I want it to be in play action pass. Now, again, you're going to have a full field progression. It is going to be a big post up top. You're going to get a deep cross, and this is where the play action pass comes into play. You're going to go play fake to the tailback, and then he's going to leak to the flat. Again, full field progression matters in play action because quarterback turns his back to his defense. I don't need my young guy to know if it's cover one, cover two, cover three, four, four. You are starting number one right there. You are going to number two right there and number three. You don't need to think paralysis by analysis to line of scrimmage. Is it cover three or cover two? And what you're going to see is a high level of comfort for Justin Fields again. Turns his back to the defense, throws the ball to space, but the back angle is really what shows you his comfort level. I want everyone to see, snap that right there. Snaps his head around, and again, you've got a big post coming here, and here comes your crossing route, and your back is now going to go to the flat. Reminder, 1, 2 to 3. Now, Justin Fields is coming out like, I just want to find one. Is one open? No. Okay, can I get the ball to number two? And as he sees that Nebraska safety start the run, he said, great. Now I know I've got what? All this space where I can throw this football to. I can lead that receiver to space. I didn't need to know if it was cover four, cover three, cover two. So that's the full field progression under center. Now the other thing I want everyone, cut the field in half. Literally, draw a line down the middle of the field. This part of the field is dead. We are not going to work there. Now it's important to point out, this is not a lack of intellect thing. This just allows young quarterbacks to play fast. Now what they're going to do is go sprint out and switch release. The switch release is going to look like this. Outside receiver, come up and hook up. Inside receiver, slot release and go vertical if you can. If not, sprint out or sit. And then Justin Fields, let's sprint you out. Now, I love the fact that what happens is when you cut the field in half, you simplify it here and here. You're off this defender right here, okay? If this defender stays inside, let's put the ball to the outside. And if he flows down, let's put the ball to the inside. And this is a simple read for Justin Fields, and he can play fast. Number one, he doesn't like because that defender is hung inside. Well, let's get to number two right there. Number two is going to be wide open for the ball. And the great thing is this. You know what you can do? Justin Fields, if you don't like number one and number two, you can become number three yourself as a runner. 1, 2, 3. Cut the field in half. Beautiful throw over the top of that defender, and it's a touchdown. So again, play action pass, full field progressions. Tell him to utilize his athleticism and then cut the field in half so he can play fast. And number three as an option could be him as a runner.
It's so good. It's so well done, as always, on those, Dan. And his ability to threaten the edge, obviously, is such a huge part of what he brings to the table here and why teams were enthusiastic about him. But we talked about this earlier. And Graziano, let me come to you first on this. The dynamic of the job status, you know, the tenuous nature of the job status of the coach. Let's put the GM out of it for the moment. He's made the decision. The coach now is the one in charge of what they do on the field. You know, I feel like that plays into this, and it'll play at least in part into how quickly Justin Fields winds up getting onto the field. What is your sense right now, Dan Graziano, of that dynamic?
Well, they have Andy Dalton in place. They believe they can start him while Fields gets ready. I mean, from the outside looking in, it always is very easy to say, yes, they need this guy to be a success to save their jobs. But you know, there are also people, to Dominique Foxworth's earlier point, we're dealing with people here, right? If the young man's not ready to play, it's irresponsible to play him. And by the way, that's not going to help you save your job because it's not going to win you games in the short term. So they have to do right by him and make sure the offensive line is where it needs to be, that whatever, you know, if there are mechanical issues that they need him to work on so that he fits what they do, they need to work those out. So Justin Fields will get the chance to win this job, I have no doubt. But the Bears, with Andy Dalton, are equipped to give him whatever time he ends up needing.
One thing I'd like to remind everyone, and Mel, I'll bring you back in on this thought, because sometimes we talk about the Bears, and I get it. We talk about them like they were a terrible football team. They were picking 20 for a reason, right? They weren't Jacksonville. They weren't the Jets. They made the playoffs last year, albeit at the back end of it. He's not walking in, Mel, to a terrible football team where he's expected to do absolutely everything, you know, the way traditionally a guy who's picked in the top two or three would be.
Yeah, that's why when the guys were talking about if he's going to be awesome, they're going to win a lot of games if Justin Fields is awesome as a rookie. And again, you're talking about you're going from Andy Dalton to Justin Fields, different style quarterbacks. And I guess everybody seems to think everything's so seamless. I'm listening to Dano and Nick say, oh, it's no problem. It's so easy. You just go in there and you play and everybody adjusts. I'm not buying it. I don't buy it with Cam and Mac. I'm not buying it with Justin and Andy Dalton. Two completely different styles. Players have to adjust to a quarterback that will run and move and run different types of plays and play callers have to adjust, as Josh McDaniels did with Cam Newton, and it didn't work out too well last year because he had to adjust from Brady to Newton. So all these seamless, easy moves, I'm not buying it. So I think Andy Dalton should start opening week. I don't think you force feed Justin Fields and put all that pressure on Justin Fields to be the guy right away.
Well, I do think that we could point to Flacco and Lamar Jackson as a move that was seamless, that we've seen it transition. But if you don't believe that it's a seamless move,
That was later in the season, though, Nick.
I know. I mean, that's even more time where you have one offensive style even more ingrained in the way that you play. But I would think that if you think it's that hard to switch from one to another, I think it's better to get to the future as soon as possible. And we know that Justin Fields in that building is going to be the future, so that everyone can get comfortable with this new offense and maybe be playing as well as they can by the end of the year, because we all agree that Andy Dalton's not going to finish the season. Even if he starts, he's not going to be there at the end. So get to your good team as soon as possible.
That'll be interesting to see how they do it. Let me leave it there for the moment. We'll come back with much more football. But did you hear what LeBron James said yesterday? The Lakers lost to Toronto. That was their sixth loss in seven games. If they lose tonight, they will fall to the seventh seed, which does not guarantee them a spot in the playoffs. Remember, they have the play-in tournament this year, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And LeBron James was talking about that yesterday and said this.
If this happens to we end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the, you know, the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Interesting. Look who's up with us here, the big fella, Kendrick Perkins. Big Perk, what do you make of LeBron saying whoever came up with this play-in tournament should be fired?
Well, Greeny, you know how I feel about LeBron James, right? I feel like he's the greatest of all time. But I disagree with him. You know, I'm listening to him, Luke, and Mark Cuban. You know, they're complaining about the play-in tournaments. The only guys that are complaining is the guys that possibly could play in the play-in tournament. And if they keep up all the crying, what the babies in the world gonna do? But at the end of the day, I feel like I love the play-in tournament for the simple fact that we all know in the history of the NBA, towards the end of the season, it tend to get boring. Teams start not to play hard. But now this is the playoffs before the playoffs. It holds guys accountable. I love the play-in tournament because it keeps guys on their toes. It makes guys take the regular season serious and not take it for granted. And by the way, what LeBron James should have said was that, man, before I got injured, we was a 1 or 2 seed, and now I come back, and now we're fighting for a playoff position because my teammates couldn't hold it down. Or maybe looking at Rob Pelinka and saying, man, why didn't you trade for Kyle Lowry, a guy that came in and gave us a 37-piece wing dinner, spicy, and handed out 11 biscuits last night? That's what he should have been complaining about, not the play-in tournament. I actually love the idea of the play-in tournament. I'm glad they had it.
You are 100% hilarious and 100% right. Kendrick Perkins, thank you for getting up this morning, and we'll check in with you as we continue. Right now, as we run along, the NFL draft's biggest quarterback secret was also its biggest victory. Neek will share his unique perspective next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ready or not, tell them here I come. Ready or not, tell them here I come.
Look at me, handsome, fast, quick. Doesn't take much for me to, yeah, I'm modest, humble, you know. Doesn't take much for me to be confident.
He's the man with the dopest open that we ever put together. It is the unique perspective with Dominique Foxworth. What do we have today, Neek?
So I just want to extend my greatest gratitude to John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for keeping that secret. Not necessarily for picking Trey Lance, but for convincing us that they might pick Mac Jones. Because the draft was fun to watch. But I got to be honest, Greeny, as great a job of hosting as you did, it didn't get interesting until we got to number three. Like, I fully believe in spoiler alerts. Like, let's stop with all this, because can you imagine how fun the draft would have been if we were talking about, hey, who are the Jets gonna take? Maybe they'll take Justin Fields, or maybe they'll take Trey Lance. What? They're going to this guy out of BYU? Like, that is fun. And I appreciate that about them understanding. I assume this is why they did it. They understand how to make good television, and they set it up to have that suspenseful moment. And I'm disappointed in everyone else. I know that Shefty has a job to do, but I appreciate it next year if you take the year off and you just let us be surprised, because that is so much more fun.
I understand what you're saying, and I agree. And obviously, the fact that we didn't know what San Francisco was going to do did make it great fun in that moment. Dan Orlovsky, the bottom line of it is, what was unique about this situation is it does genuinely feel like they changed their minds. I believe that they went up there with the intention of taking Mac Jones, and that Trey Lance changed their minds through the process, which I would not have imagined possible.
Yeah, and Greeny, I was steadfast that they were taking Mac Jones and thought it was the right decision until Friday afternoon when Mina Kimes on NFL Live said something, and it totally changed my viewpoint, because ever since the trade happened, I've been thinking about the pass game and the pass game and the pass game, and Mac Jones was this perfect fit for the pass game in San Francisco. And then Mina made this point on Friday, and it totally made me kind of change the way I viewed. She said that Trey Lance is the perfect and right fit for San Francisco because Kyle Shanahan is the most diabolical run game coordinator and run game designer in the NFL. And not only can Trey Lance do stuff carrying the football in San Francisco for that offense, but how much he's going to help everybody else in the run game in that offense. Trey Lance averaged 9 yards per carry in college. And he's going to do stuff for that run game as a ball carrier and for others that Mac Jones just couldn't. And I never looked at it that way, run game centric. And I never got my mind off strictly looking at the pass game until Mina said that. And after she said that, it made me think, no, that Trey Lance is the right pick for San Francisco. And they did make the right choice. And it's because of Kyle Shanahan and the run game.
Yeah, and so, Mel, again, you called it the most intriguing evaluation you've ever had to do. Now that you've had some time to digest it, what do you think of the decision the Niners made?
I finally agree with Neek after, what, 2 hours today. I think he's completely correct. I think you look at what happened there was the secret, if it was a secret. I don't know, Neek, if it was a big secret. I think in terms of what Vegas flipped it in the middle of the afternoon. They found out, and then Trey Lance became the favorite. I think they themselves, when did they actually decide it wasn't Mac Jones? We don't know that. Was it days before the draft, weeks, a month? We don't know that, but I'm with you. The intrigue was about pick three because they kept it going. They gave their organization maximum publicity. That's a great thing, and that's something all teams should follow in their footsteps and try to do.
And to Nick's point, if we didn't know who the Jets were going to take leading in, it would have added that much more level of intrigue one way or the other, so that's where you have it. Meanwhile, I want everyone to be aware of something pretty special we have coming up tonight. Should be a lot of fun on ESPN2 and ESPN Deportes and ESPN Plus. The first ever Marvel-inspired presentation of an NBA game. It's Warriors Pelicans. The telecast will integrate elements from an original Marvel story and include iconic heroes, Black Panther, Iron Man, Black Widow, and Captain America. Here's what you're going to see tonight.
In their search for a hero to join them, the Avengers have set their sights on the world's greatest athletes, starting with the NBA, and this battle between the Warriors and the Pelicans. Their focus will be on three players from each team. From Golden State, Captain Marvel admires the otherworldly talent of Steph Curry. Doctor Strange is enchanted by the spirit and tenacity of the multidimensional Draymond Green. And Black Panther respects the extraordinary physical abilities of Andrew Wiggins. From New Orleans, Captain America nominated the revolutionary game changer Zion Williamson. Black Widow selected the sinewy sharpshooter Brandon Ingram. And Iron Man is intrigued by Lonzo Ball's basketball IQ. The combined intellects of Tony Stark and Bruce Banner designed an algorithmic scoring system to assess performance. A hero point will be awarded for every point, rebound, assist, steal, or block. Conversely, a point will be deducted for every missed shot or free throw or for a turnover. 10 bonus points will go to those on the winning team. When the dust clears and the final buzzer sounds, the player with the most hero points will earn the right to stand side by side with Earth's mightiest heroes. This is Marvel's Arena of Heroes.
It's going to be fun tonight, and it begs the question, who is your favorite Marvel superhero? Graziano, I start with you.
I was always a Spider-Man guy from when I was a kid. Like, I like Spider-Man. He takes the radioactive spider bite, and then he builds on it, made the web shooters himself. Always thought Spider-Man as the self-made superhero.
Orlovsky.
All right, so the best Avengers movie of all time is Black Panther. The one that I like to watch the most is Endgame, but my favorite, nobody Captain America. That's who I feel like I'm most like.
I was just going to say that. Nish, who is your favorite Marvel superhero?
Well, if we're going the MCU, the movie route, you got to go with Iron Man. Like, he started it all. He's built his powers off of intellect, and he's smooth and funny. Like, if we're talking about who we're most like
oh, gosh,
obviously, like, look at me. I'm charismatic, handsome, intelligent. I'm kind of like Iron Man.
Fair enough. That is
none
well
of
done.
That.
I hope you enjoy watching it tonight. The jokes are running fast and furious in everybody's head. Coming up, how much is Aaron Rodgers to blame for what's happening in Green Bay right now? Wait till you hear what a former Hall of Famer, actually a current Hall of Famer, former quarterback, had to say about it. You will next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, you want baseball? We got baseball coming your way Wednesday night. Finale of a three-game set. Dodgers-Cubs. How about this pitching matchup? Trevor Bauer versus Jake Arrieta. That's the goods. Our coverage begins 7:30 Eastern on ESPN. Meanwhile, First Take is coming up next here. The crew will be together. Would you pick LeBron and the Lakers to win the West right now? They'll talk about that and more. Stephen A., Max, and Molly. They're 4 minutes away here on ESPN. Meanwhile, we finish up today with the biggest story in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. Over the weekend, everybody commenting on it, the team president, the head coach, and others. But did you hear what the Hall of Famer Warren Moon said yesterday on ESPN Radio? Get this.
I really think that they're just being a little bit too greedy now. I think a little bit too sensitive. All these things bothered him about what happened with Jordan Love. That stuff should have been voiced last year and taken care of last year. But I just kind of question the timing of when all that came out on draft day, one of the biggest days of the year for all these young guys, and all of a sudden he wants to take the thunder away from them a little bit. At some point, Aaron Rodgers is not going to be Aaron Rodgers, and they want to have somebody ready to go. I don't know why he can't understand that.
Pretty interesting. And so just very quickly around the horn on this, Dominique, is Aaron Rodgers being too sensitive?
No, it seems to me like he has the power to do this, and it's okay to do it. I tend to disagree with these former quarterbacks when they come back criticizing these guys. Aaron Rodgers has the leverage to make this decision. If that's what he wants to do, then it feels like it's all okay. And maybe Warren Moon might be just a touch jealous because they certainly didn't treat him like that when he was in the league.
Fair enough. But you can be right and be a little too sensitive at the same time. Mel, right. What do you think? Is Rodgers being too sensitive here?
No, I don't think so. I don't know how you can have irreparable damage against a franchise quarterback, Hall of Famer, who's an MVP. I don't get that's on the organization. That's not on Aaron. That's on the organization for not figuring this all out and communicating properly and having a great relationship built on respect and trust with your quarterback.
That's the point. Is that perhaps one of the things that irritates him is not just the selection of Jordan Love, but the fact he did not receive a heads up about it. Dan Orlovsky, what do you think?
I think Mel's exactly right. No, he's not being too sensitive. He was the MVP of the NFL last year. I think he's ticked off. I think the organization said that we view you as X, and he said, hold up. I am not that, and I'm going to show you. Aaron Rodgers has every stinking right to feel the way that he does right now. And has every stinking right to make the comments or have comments be made that are getting out there right now. This dude is the best quarterback in the NFL over the last 15 years, outside of Tom Brady. He's one of the greatest ever. And all that's happened, they've gone to one Super Bowl. Okay? We have documented how little offensive support skill-wise they've given him in the first round. So yeah, he's ticked off, and that's okay.
Graziano, I'm reading your face. Go.
I mean, we just continue to cling to these things that aren't true. The Packers have built a great team around.
No one said they
didn't. Rodgers. But you said we've documented the lack of support they've given him. They've given him tons of support.
In the first round,
where is he going to go that's a better situation than what he has right now? Well, who cares if you get – who cares about the first round if you get all-pro receivers in the second? I don't understand what the point is. Like, you have to spend first-round capital on making your
Brad,
team
you
better
also,
when your
you,
team's already great.
You also hang
he's
on
being
to
– too sensitive. He's – what?
You hang on to Jordy Nelson like Jordy Nelson's still playing. Okay, Jordy Nelson hasn't played in like five or 6 years.
What are you talking about? No, Devontae Adams, the second round pick. Jordy Nelson, second round pick. Randall Cobb, a second round pick. Greg Jennings, a second round pick. They're great at finding
that. When was Devontae Adams drafted?
What are you talking about?
What year was Devontae Adams drafted? What year? How long has it been since he was a second round draft pick?
Who cares? Is he old? Look, you have a quarterback who was coming off the two worst QBR seasons of his career. And the organization had a chance to find a guy that they believed in for the long term. It's exactly how Aaron Rodgers got in the league. If there's anybody who should understand the way the Packers operate,
no, it's not because they didn't go to the NFC title game the year before.
The only thing that is a shame is the show is going to end in 6 seconds, whether we're ready for it too or not. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.